You are listening to My Art Broker Talks. My Art Broker connects buyers and sellers of blue chip prints and editions, specialising in original prints and multiples, in particular pop, contemporary and urban art. Hosted by Charlotte Stewart.
Hockney's career has spanned nearly 70 years, and he is undoubtedly one of the most experimental and prolific English artists working today. He made his first etching in 1952 when he was just 17 years old. He's now 85 and still active. And his practice includes etchings, lithographs, aquatints, homemade prints using photocopiers or fax machines, printed iPad drawings, and photographic editions of his best-loved paintings. Unique prints by Hockney can sell for millions of pounds at auction. The auction record is for Paper Pools 30, which sold for 8.7 million. And edition prints can sell for six-figure sums. Each of Hockney's print mediums have such different styles that they can attract a range of collectors and investors at very various different price points. So today's guest is Celine Fraser, our Hockney specialist at My Art Broker, who works with our collectors to buy and sell in the Hockney market on a daily basis. We've put together some of your most burning questions about the market and the prints and even preparing your work for sale. So let's kick off. Hello, Celine.
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about value and where they sit. How much does a Hockney print sell for?
So if we are looking at Hockney in total across its mediums, on the lower end, you have posters. They can go for about £1,000 to £2,000. Next, I would say you have his photographs, which go for about £2,000 to £4,000 or £5,000, depending on how rare, special, if it's hand finished, if there's anything specific and unique to that piece. Next, you'll see his etchings, typically those made in the 70s and 80s. They can go from around that £8,000 price point up to maybe 20. From there, you see some of his newer work. So there's pieces that I like to call fifth detail snail, but it's fifth detail snail space. It sold for $15,000. So it's a lower price point in terms of Hockney's, and they can just go up from there. You see them at 40, 50, 70, 80. He has such a wide breadth of work that you really can find pieces at any price point.
And what's seen the biggest perhaps growth in terms of price point in the last few years within Hockney's portfolio?
I think his most recent digital print series have gone crazy in the last few years. To pull some actual figures, if we look at Untitled number 329 from his ABCD release, those are all flower pictures. The very first time this work was seen at auction, it sold for around $8,700 for Hammer. The most recent Hammer price for this piece was $30,000. So in 5 years' time, we've already seen growth from $8,000 to $30,000. And alongside that, the Yosemite Suite, Arrival of Spring, all of these iPad digital drawings have gone from being at initial release, I think Arrival of Spring was 40,000. Now you'd be hard pressed to find one under 300.
So talk to us a little bit about the iPad drawings, Celine, because talk about their reception when they first perhaps came onto the market and how people viewed them. I mean, you know, I think that there's quite an interesting space for these works now, particularly in the world where like an NFT is now the digital version of an artwork. So an iPad drawing almost feels archaic. But talk about the reception perhaps of the iPad drawings and why the market has sort of really greeted them so well.
Yeah. So I was speaking with a client of mine earlier this week. He's another American, and he owns a Yosemite piece. And we were talking about how we have this theory that only Americans want the Yosemite because it's so uniquely American. Like, you don't have, no offense to the beautiful English countryside, but you don't have those large sprawling mountains with like gigantic trees the way you do on the West Coast. And so that piece has just been gaining a lot of popularity, but in the same way that the Arrival of Spring series is just so uniquely British, you get these feels from Hockney's work, and it being an iPad drawing, I think that initial release, it wasn't received as well as it is now, because people are like, iPads, like, why would you use a digital medium like this to make a piece of art? Like, real art should be made with like painting, as my mom always says, or like an actual drawing, screen print, things like that, more traditional with what you see in like the Warhol market. But with Hockney, he's always been experimental. As you mentioned, he sent a picture of a dog through a fax machine. And so it's the same way with his digital prints. He was first seen as being a bit silly and ridiculous, that these pieces weren't really meant, they didn't mean anything. And now they've come to represent a time and a place.
Of the other genres within his print portfolio, what else has seen this sort of similar growth to the iPad drawings?
Sure. So any Hockney collector or enthusiast will know that Phillips had a huge sale this past September on the 13th. And in that, we saw some collage pieces. Those were estimated to be about 10 to 15. I believe it was Celia making tea. And it was reported to have sold for 30,000. So his collages have been getting a lot more praise. And I would say that his photography has sort of stayed around the same level, but I think as a medium, photography hasn't been as explored more widely in the same sort of way that a screen print or an artist typically known for their screen prints would have. We see the same in the Warhol market again.
Mm.
We also, yes?
Sorry, and in terms of collecting the different mediums within Hockney's print portfolios, What are the considerations that a collector might have, perhaps somebody coming to the market the first time? Is there a good area they should start in, both in terms of budget or works that perhaps are in better condition because of how they were made?
As you mentioned, Hockney has been making work for many, many years. His older pieces, while they are iconic, are may not be in the best condition. So you would see, and it's very common to see things like discoloration. Those are all completely normal in a work that's like 40 years old. It's a screen print that's been in glass, probably in someone's home. They never expect to take it off the wall. You get it out of a frame that they never really put the idea of like, oh, how do we frame properly? What does archival framing mean? How do we hinge? Well, we'll just stick it in here and hopefully it does the best. It's for the best, you know? So you'll see those works tend to have those issues. That's normal. In his newer pieces, I would say that you don't see as much need for looking out for condition just because they're so new. His iPad pieces, I believe he started drawing in around 2011. So and then they were printed and now they're available. So those works are pretty good. In terms of the pieces that come in between, so you have a breadth of work for, let's say, from like the 70s to the early 2000s. For collages, if it's actually glued down and they're genuine issues, want to make sure that the pieces are still able to lay flat. If for etchings, I actually had a really funny conversation with a guy about a piece called Mo Asleep. And he was like, if I'm going to get the etching, I want one of the earlier etchings, because the later etchings, one of his eyes just seem a little droopy and he looks drunk. He doesn't look asleep at all. So it's like, you want, for etching specifically, because of the way that the printing is done, it's a very archaic, like 500-year-old idea to think that you need an earlier etching. But it is true to some extent, because the medium in which it was made just means that the image itself may appear to be a bit distorted by the end.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. And which of his works and perhaps series are going to stand the test of time? What are the key works that, if you have the ability to buy, are really what one should be aiming for, in your opinion?
Ooh, I think that, and maybe this is biased, but I think the Yosemite series is a very interesting series to keep an eye out for. It's a small edition size. There are a number of eye-catching works to acquire, and the price point isn't yet at the same level of Arrival of Spring. That may be for a few reasons. As I mentioned, it is a very American image, and the majority of Hockney's market is based in the UK still. So the image may not yet be as appealing and sought after, but I think that it has the potential to reach that level. So I think specifically Yosemite series number one is just so bright, and you can really see just all the colors. And that's what I think is very attractive about Hockney's work.
And in terms of earlier works, is there something that you would, if someone said, I was looking more for the early works, is there a particular series you would direct them towards?
I think anything from the Paper Pool series is always going to be special, simply because his pools are his most iconic feature. You can't go wrong with a beautiful blue swimming pool.
You can't, can you? And it's funny how, you know, all artists, particularly in their print portfolios, ones, you know, artists that do work as printmakers very prolifically, you cannot avoid having these particular images that are just iconic with that artist. I mean, you know, I don't think I can think of one artist that we deal in that doesn't have that iconic image. I mean, what about value around the Paper Pool series? What does that look like over the years?
The Paper Pool, specifically, if you're looking at pool made of paper for blue ink for book, I don't think I got the full title in there, but we always call it Paper Pool, so that's what I know it as. That one specifically, it's an edition size of 1,000. It came with a book. A lot of people who have the book and the print never really thought it would reach that level. And now we see them selling at the 60, 70,000 pound price point. There are a lot out there, and at the same time, there feels like there are so few. So you'll go on to the market and you'll try to find one, and that is sort of the general area and what you're looking for, which for an edition size of 1,000 is amazing.
And what year, roughly, are we talking Paper Pools, Celine? How old are these works? And I suppose, you know, with these older works, what are the condition issues that we need to be potentially aware of, both as a seller looking to sell and preparing their work for sale, but as a buyer, you know, buying in the earlier works, what should one be looking for?
So this year, the year of this work is 1980. It's a small piece at 27 by 23 centimeters. Because of the age of this work, first of all, discoloration is a huge factor. Another thing is fading. If this work was exposed to light frequently over that period of time, of course, those bright blues, greens, reds are just going to dull.
Yeah.
It's so sad. You also, I think one thing to really look out for is the corners. I think that those get neglected a lot. Maybe they get clipped, cut, anything like that. Hopefully you don't find that. The work itself is quite small. So if there's any issue to the piece, it's very noticeable. You can't hide it in another 100 centimeters of work. It's right here. I'd say also, if you maybe weren't as careful with this work, it may be dirty. So definitely see if the work can be surface cleaned, and if it maybe wasn't framed, but rather kept, you know, elsewhere, see if it needs to be pressed. These are things that can easily be done with restoration. They don't mean the end of the piece itself, but they are important things to keep in mind when looking for works in general. And with Hockney specifically, age is a huge factor.
So as we talk about what we need to look at in terms of condition, how is authenticity in this market? Obviously, in any market where there is a huge amount of investment potential, there are fakes. Is this something that the Hockney market has as many problems with as perhaps the Banksy and the Warhol market?
I honestly would say they don't have those issues. In my mind, when you think of Warhol, he's an established artist. Like, it's a Warhol. You know what that means. It doesn't matter if you like know art, if you care about art, it's Warhol. Yeah. With Banksy, his work is in some aspects easy to replicate because you can buy the stencils for his pieces. So it's not like, you know, someone had to get a specific printing press. You can spray paint it. So with Hockney, I'd say maybe his market has been ignored for so long in terms of its value in relation to other pieces, that the amount of fakes I see is practically none. Sometimes you see works with interesting provenance and you question it, but there are you can look at centimeter sizing, because his pieces are always strange centimeters. Like one will be like 73 rather than like a harsh 70, and so you know that if that's a little bit of, oh yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, and do you think it might also, because the David Hockney Foundation is still up and running, whereas, you know, with the Warhol market, we don't have that estate anymore to be able to check things.
David Hockney is quite active. The foundation is running. If you have questions on a piece, they will check for you. If you are looking at, and quite honestly, his works weren't purchased, I think, in the same way that Warhol and Banksy pieces were purchased. They're purchased by people who are usually in love with Hockney's work, have loved other works of his. They're collectors specifically of his pieces in a way that's like, they know what his work means. And so they're, when you see someone who's reselling work, they're usually the first one to own the piece. It hasn't gone through, you know, an auction house and then a gallery to get to the initial person who resold it. It doesn't have as much history.
Yeah. So it says, and in that way, it's straight off the primary market, and we're able to really be absolutely sure of the provenance behind a work.
Yeah.
Which makes, obviously, it just a much easier job, doesn't it?
I've had so many conversations where someone's like, oh, I bought this right from the exhibition. I still have the book.
Amazing. That's brilliant. And that's exactly what you want. And I suppose that's what makes it a relatively easy market to buy and sell in, isn't it? Because, you know, there is less concern about the provenance of works with a living artist. What do you think's next for Hockney?
Yeah, well, he has an exhibition on right now. There are 20 flower pieces. I do not know if works are still available, but the exhibition itself is still available to be seen. I think that it's funny, because I always hear from people that they are sort of looking to see, like, how's Hockney's health doing? And is anything going to happen anytime soon? I think that his works are going to keep going up in value. I think that we saw with the Phillips auction that his works are incredibly popular in a way that other markets haven't fared as well in this economy. And I think that because he has been established, he hasn't had some meteoric rise out of nowhere that nobody can explain. He's grown to this level that he will stay here.
So I think that's, I agree with that. I think what is quite interesting is that, from my perspective, in the last 15 years, the iPad drawings and the digital part of his printmaking has actually catapulted him into this new space, because it's made him relevant in a way that perhaps those earlier works in the, you know, the paintings were iconic, but actually being his print market has been born in a sort of backward way from these incredibly relevant digital prints that have slightly broken the mold for what a print can be. And at such an amazing age, you know, I think it's one of those things, isn't it, where a younger artist could not have done this so successfully. You know, they always say Picasso can, because we know he can draw. You know, he's allowed to do that because we know how his early drawings were. And I think that's, you know, that's sometimes the appeal with Hockney, is that the only artist that can draw on an iPad and then produce prints from it and be taken truly seriously, you know, is David Hockney.
I 100% agree with that.
So what do you expect to see in 2023? Are there particular series that you've kind of seen our collectors getting more excited about? I mean, you've talked about Yosemite, which I absolutely agree with you. I think also, you know, he's very good at making these very particular, you know, I hate using that word and I've used it already quite a lot, but iconic images. And Yosemite is such a, you know, as somebody, as an English person, yes, I've been to Yosemite, and you know, it's exactly as you described it. they sort of turned up the volume on nature, haven't they? Everything's just massive. It's just like, I love it, but can you just supersize it for me?
Yeah.
and he's taken that, and then he's taken the, you know, the British arrival of spring to that extreme image state again. Are there prints that perhaps have been around for some time that you can see making ripples, excuse the pun, in 2023?
Sure. Well, I think that some of his works that I think that are getting a lot more interest right now are the abstract works. So I mentioned Fifth Detail Snail, that whole detail series is one that people are like, oh, like this is a hocknio. It's fun. It's a little different. You still have the colors, but it's not like a flower. Like it's not like, you know, something that your grandmother may want to collect. It's something a little cool, a little different. I think that those pieces are still, you know, at a lower price point than what you'd see from his other series, his other works. And so if you are a starting out collector, that's a great place to start. It's a Hockney piece, established artist, as we mentioned. It's a lower price point. So it's a good, if you're not comfortable dropping 80,000, you can spend closer to like 15 to 20. And the pieces themselves are large. So they are imposing.
And they're really beautiful, aren't they? I mean,
they really are.
Yeah.
And I think Hockney doesn't get enough credit. Like I've had conversations with people my age who, you know, mid to late 20s that are like, oh, isn't that like an old person thing? Like, no, Hockney can be for anybody. Stop it.
Well, he does bridge the gap. But that's what happens when an artist has lived for so long and created so much. You know, it's funny because you know, we talk about him in many different sort of versions of art history because he has been through so much. And, you know, he's still producing now. And that's what's extraordinary about him. And you can't replicate that, you know, alongside an artist, particularly those that died, you know, very young, like a lot of the American pop artists. So his print portfolio is quite different. So we've talked a little bit about these iPad drawings and how they seem to have brought Hockney into this relevant space today. There's an artist who has been so prolific over so many decades. Are there particular series that if you're perhaps interested in themes within his work that you can explore outside of a medium category that span his early works in the 60s all the way to now?
Yeah. So one of the best examples of that is Celia. He drew this woman, a friend of his, starting in etchings in 69. It went to abstract work in 80, 81, to collage in 84. So if you wanted to just collect Celia works, that is something that someone can do. You can do the same with his chairs. He loved drawing chairs and home interiors for a series of times. So those drawings you don't see very often. They are 70s, 80s work. And you can just find very colorful home drawings, still life pieces almost. If you wanted to look at just his collages, that was something that he was very interested in, those sepia tones all throughout the 80s. As someone who's always interested in my mind in evolving and changing and wanting to explore his family, his friends, the people around him and all these different mediums, because that's what they are. His works are so personal because those are the things he interacts with every day. And you can even follow his life through that, through who he was around, who he's talking to, who his friends were, where he was living. So we mentioned the Yosemite, that was when he was living in California.
Celine, what should somebody who's preparing their work to sell, maybe with us or with somebody else, how should they go about it? Perhaps it's been framed, perhaps it's been on the wall for many, many years. What should they do to prepare it for sale?
Yeah, of course. I think that if it's an older work, they should try to find receipts for where they got it, as that's the best provenance for pieces, especially, you know, as they get older. And then, start with getting your gallery receipts in order. Next, take some really good photos of it. If it's been exposed to light, take it off the wall, put it somewhere a bit darker. And next, if you are curious about the condition of the work, go to whoever stores, ask them specifically, hi, I would like to have a condition report done of my piece to know what would make it the best thing to take to market. These are, you know, we offer condition reports for works that we sell just to make it fair and open in the market. But we also, you know, we ask for the provenance, we ask for the images, just so we have a full understanding of the work before us. I think that if you're going to take it to market, you need to understand that the piece will always do better if it's in the best light possible. And that is what everyone should work towards when they're looking to sell a piece.
And so you touched on it there, Celine, but explain how the process works with us and that condition report being carried out.
Yeah, of course. So it starts with an inquiry. So you come onto our online form, you let us know what work you have and give us the details. One of us will be in contact. If you're looking for Hockney, it's me. And I will ask about the provenance, if there's anything notable about this work in terms of, you know, any condition issues that you may have seen or already discussed with a restorer. From there, we would work on the appraisal. Of course, we're always going to keep you up to date. We're going to talk about the market. We're going to let you know the most recent hammer results, because for many people, you know, the auction is the best way to understand where a work sits at that exact point in time, because a gallery can always set their prices. An auction is everybody has had the opportunity to judge the work individually, and this is what they say it is worth. From there, we then, once we agree to a reserve price, you know, the price you're not willing to transact below, we handle the logistics of things. We have the work collected. We have it taken to our conservation specialists who do a full condition report. And then we let you know, this is what we think would be best for you to do for the piece based on their recommendations. And we give you the option about whether or not you want to go ahead. That's how we try to make sure that you are fully involved in the process and are given as much control as you can be in the art market.
Excellent. Is there any particular work, Celine, that we have currently consigned that you think is would be a good opportunity for a collector?
Yeah, well, that's a really tough question. I think that because of its entry point in the market and how popular iPad drawings are at this time, I'd probably have to say number 516. It's letter D from the series, and it comes with a giant big book. It's actually called the Big Book, the Big Blue Book, maybe.
Amazing. And Celine, what would you own? If you could have anything from his portfolio, what would you have and why?
Anything? I would take the steering wheel. I absolutely love this piece. My dream was always to road trip, because I'm from the West Coast, but I went to school on the East Coast. I wanted to do cross country, never was allowed to, but and this piece just captures that, like the feeling of driving across the country. Maybe you have like some magazine with you, or you're just talking to your friends and seeing the national parks and sites. It feels fun. And I think that's what Hockney is he feels fun.
I love it. It's great work. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Celine. Anything else you want to share that we don't think we've covered?
No, I think that we have everything. I'm always happy to help anyone that's interested in Hockney and wants to have a conversation, so give me a call.
Get in touch with Celine. Thanks, Celine. Bye.
Bye, Charlotte.